of Mefulash, which according to Rashi and many Rishonim is taken to mean Mechuvan, that in order for a street to be Rishus HaRabim, it has to go straight from one end of the city to another. And this formulation of Mechuvan is quoted Lahalacha in the Magen Avraham, even though the Shulchan Aruch does not explicitly define Mefulash as Mechuvan. So as we discussed last time, we noted the Lashon of the Meiri, who labels Mechuvan as B'li Shum Ikum, that can't curve at all, or at least can't curve in a noticeable way. And we noted the letter that Rabbi Kasher unearthed from Shlomo David Kahana of Warsaw, that the basis of keeping an Erev in Warsaw after the population exceeded 600,000 was the fact that there were no drachim, hamefulashim, B'li Shum Ikum, that there were no roads that went straight from one end of the city to the other. And you notice in that letter that the larger a city is, the less likely it is that you would have a derech that's properly mechuvan, and then ironically, the less likely that it could be a rishus harabim d'oraisa. I saw the following raya to the requirement of the definition of mefulash as mechuvan in the Kuntres Divrei Shalom Emes. The Kuntres Divrei Shalom Emes was written by a Rav Yisrael Avram Abba Krieger of Frankfurt in 1922. It was one of two works that I'm aware of that were written to justify the erection of an Erev in Frankfurt. You're probably well aware that the Boreas Kehillah traditionally has been opposed to putting up an Erev in Washington Heights. Largely, at least Rav Schwab's essay on the topic, which was printed originally in Apardes and subsequently reprinted in his Mayan Beis HaShoeva, Rav Schwab's argument is largely sociological or meta-halachic and not halachic, although that somehow has morphed into a Ramosha style understanding that Manhattan is just around the Raisa, which we'll get to in due time. But this opposition to Erevin went back to Frankfurt, where in the years from Rav Hirsch until the war, there were two kehilos. There was the secessionist kehila of Rav Hirsch and the previous establishment kehila, which became the non-establishment kehila, the whole Ostrite controversy. But the non-Rav Hirsch kehila put up an Erev in the beginning of the 20th century. There was a rabbi, Nechemya Noble, who was a rav of that community at the same time that Rav Shlomo Breuer was a rav of the Rav Hirsch community in Frankfurt. Rav Noble wrote an essay which is published in a work collection of his essays published by Masada Rav Kook, in which he discusses the justification for erecting an Erev in Frankfurt. His focus is more on specific construction issues, using telegraph poles, and whether there's a carpet issue. So these are things that we'll discuss in due time. And the other work written by this Rabbi Krieger discusses some of the Rishus HaRabim definition issues as well. Frankfurt, until the war, never had a population that reached 600,000. Around the time of the First World War, the population was a little bit in excess of 400,000. At the beginning of the Second World War, the population was about 550,000. So there was no Shish and Rebo issue in the city of Frankfurt. So he points out, he also thinks that the fact that there's no straight road from one end of the city to another is a justification for considering a city to not be a Rishus HaRabim. And as far as the definition of Mefulash as Mechuvan, he points to a Ravid quoted in a Rush in Sukkah. The Rush in Sukkah, Paragimel Simen Yudches, Paragimel Simen Yudches, quotes the Yerushalmi. There we're talking about Sule Esrog. So the Yerushalmi has a line that Esrog shenikev velo pilesh is kasher. That if an Esrog has a hole, but it's not mefulash, that Esrog is kasher. The Ravid's understanding of that line in the Yerushalmi is that the definition of pilesh means that you can see through from one end to the other. So even if I have a hole, a nekav on one side of the Esrog, a nekav on the other side of the Esrog, but the two nekavim are not in sync, they don't line up, that would not be a soul of Nikev. The psul is only if it's mefulash, if the two holes line up and you can see from one end to the other. So Rabbi Krieger points out that sounds like the definition of mefulash is mechuvan. That's in a totally different context. You can't necessarily bring a right from one to the other, but at least as a remez, he points to that as another raya to this mahalach. Yeah. What do you mean?
Meaning if the road was straight.
Right.
It was a very large hill.
If it was straight but a very large hill, meaning it wasn't topographically mechuvan. So I could hear that not being mechuvan. Mechuvan is easy straight access from one side to another. So if there's, then you'll tell me what's the shear. So maybe it's the shear of tail and the flocket, and that's only shear we know for inclines. Yes, I could hear that not being considered mechuvan. Yeah.
Right. You know, right, as opposed to here, the concern is the lack of the ability to see from one to the other.
It's not necessarily a function of seeing. It might be a function of access, but whatever that. I'm sorry?
Yeah, over such a large area, you can.
Right, so then maybe that wouldn't be a problem. You could, if it's over a large area, so maybe that wouldn't be a problem, because, or that wouldn't destroy the pilush, because it's over a large area and it's not the shear tail in the socket. Fine. So, it occurred to me once, when I was flying into Chicago over Lake Michigan, and I noticed that very clear day, flying right down into the city, I noticed that the streets there, coming off Lake Michigan, seem to be straight for miles and miles and miles, that they seem to be well mechuvan, belishum ikum klal, all the way up to O'Hare, and then the plane landed, so I couldn't see what was going on beyond that. So I made a mental note of that at the time, wondering how Chicago could have an Erev if the streets are indeed mechuvan mishar lishar belishum ikum klal. And then getting back to the Slima now, I decided to look into this a little bit.
So I bring to you Exhibit A.
Right. So if you look at the following map, so the West Rogers Park Eruv, basically, the West Rogers Park Eruv was constructed in the early 1990s. I asked Rabbi Reese to find for me a copy of the West Rogers Park Eruv Kuntres, which he graciously has scanned to me, which includes a brief tshuva by the Shevet Levi, Rav Bosner, who was asked to be machshir an Eruv in Chicago, and he sent his son, Rabbi Gonzina Bosner, who at the time was at least spending a good part of the year in Muncie, to scout it out, and Rabbi Gonzina Bosner wrote a lengthy tshuva, which is printed in this Kuntres about the West Rogers Park Eruv. He's the one who built the Eruv on the other side of Washington Heights. So the Eruv there, the West Rogers Park Eruv, basically runs on the eastern end around where this... One second. On the eastern end around where this cursor runs, with the railroad tracks over here. On the northern end, just above Power Street. On the southern end, around here. And on the western end, around north, heads the avenue, which is, I think, where the Reese is. So, if you take a look, Howard Street starts basically at Lake Michigan. It doesn't go into Lake Michigan because that would be dangerous. but it basically gets as far to Lake Michigan as possible. If you look at this view, see, Howard Street ends over here, and it basically just goes, you can take your car all the way to the parking lot, which is Mamish on the lake, right? So Howard Street is Mechuvan, straight. Now even this, which curves a tiny bit, if you draw a line from here, you're still going straight. You don't even have your Chazanish equation here, because from this cross roughly here, it's still not cut off. And it keeps on going straight and straight and straight for 9 miles. Beyond I'll see that in a little bit. I'm sorry?
Is that Makura? Does that break it up?
I'll talk about Makura, but if it, at worst it breaks up that tiny piece under the overpass, not the entire street. So let me zoom that a little bit more. So it's basically, you can take my word for it or look yourself later, but this is about as mechuvan as you can get. And this is already the end of the Erev, and then it keeps on going well past the Erev. Now we're already out of the Chicago city limits. This is, I think, called Niles, Illinois. And then at one point, the Chicago city limits curves back in, and we're still going straight, straight, straight. We're still going straight, straight, straight. And then eventually, after about 9 miles, when we're well out of Chicago, it becomes a different street and then curves. So I thought maybe after Shechter, what he would say, if you have a Derech Mechuvan Mishar Lishar, but at one end it ends up at Lake Michigan, so is that still called Mefulash? And it doesn't leave. I'm sorry?
Why wouldn't it be
Mefulash? Because the Maaser stops.
Well,
every road is going to
stop
at some point. It's stopping in the city. So,
yeah,
is it stopping in the city?
I'm sorry?
I'm sorry, at one end. So it begins at Lake Michigan. So that is that's still in the city. I guess technically the city ends there. But Rosh Hashanah thought that that's still considered Mechuvan Mishar Lashar. That's the beginning of the city. So it's Mechuvan from the very beginning of the city, from Lake Michigan, all the way beyond what are the Chicago city limits. So it occurred to me whether this would be an issue, at least in Rosh Hashanah's mode of thinking, that the critical factor in defining something in this Shisha Rabbah is whether it's Mechuv Mishar Lishar Blishim Ikum Klau. So Rabbi Ben Sion Vosner addresses this in his Kuntres. And he has a Deek and Lashon Ramban. and just in terms of the geography here, by the way, that's the only street that the Imam is to Mishar Lishar. There are other streets that are very close. So curve a little bit. You can take a look on your own as a map. I'll go back to that view. Anyway, so Rabbi Ben Zion Vosner suggests he has a diuk in a Ramban. The Ramban in Erev and Tess that we quoted in the past has the following line. In defining Mefulash, he writes, Kol Mavoi Shemefulash Bishnei Rashav. So it's open on either side, both sides. Umechuvan Ad Chutz Medina. And it's Mechuvan Ad Chutz Medina. Meaning it's Mechuvan out of the city. So it's not enough that the road is Mefulash to the end of the city. It has to actually take you out of the city. So you seem to be assuming that since this road doesn't take you out of the city straight, even though the reason it doesn't take you out of the city straight is because you hit the lake, but Lamaisa is not taking you straight out of the city, that's not considered Mechuvan. Then he says, Ayin b'magen Avram. Magen Avram doesn't quote this Lashon L'Ramban, so I'm not sure what he means. And he says, Ayin b'magen Avram. So he assumes for this reason that there's no derech that is Mechuvan Mishar Lashar Blishim Ikum in all of Chicago. If you want to take a look, it's page 38 of the Kuntres. I have a PDF if you want me to send it to you, and email me, I'll be happy to send you a copy. 1 second. So this Ha'ara is not necessarily Muchach Medatz Lalacha. I mean, this formulation of Ad Chutz Medina, as far as I can tell, you don't have the other Rishonim. So whether that's the intent of the Ramban and whether we accept that lahalacha, I'm not sure, but that's his justification that this shouldn't be an issue with constructing an Erev in Chicago. Yeah?
So based on that star,
sorry,
would that mean that Broadway would be on a Chayrish's Ramban?
No, Broadway doesn't go straight. It goes there, that way, and that way. It doesn't go straight at all. I don't have time to look at a map, but yeah.
is it clear from the Ramban that it has to be on both ends? Because here it's went out on one end.
The foolish Mishnei Rasha, Mechuvan Achus Medina. I think it's pretty clear it means on both ends. Yeah.
How do we define, and this could be a stupid question, the Medina? Meaning, are we to say that in an area, Chicago, it seems that there was, right after where that road actually ended and turned left,
right.
It seems to end. But there are places where, you know, in some areas in New York, you'll drive for hundreds of miles and there's no demarcated end of the Medina.
In Medina, we take the mean city.
Right, we're saying, where is it? Okay, so,
so we know where the municipal boundaries are.
So the goal stuff, the road goes, we just take, you know, Brooklyn and Queens. You know, there's no clear marker in between the two.
There's a pretty clear marker. Well, in some places, okay.
So take, I'll give
right.
What I'm saying,
yeah, so that's a different jurisdiction, right? That's
what
a different
jurisdiction. What if I were to draw the line between Washington Heights and Harlem? I could walk it
as
a
neighborhood, that's not a. Manhattan.
So what defines? Is it county? Is it city? Is it?
Some city.
So
say Toronto and Vaughan. The two cities, you don't know the difference between the two of them. They mamish touch each other, tell them right. Yaakov, they now become the same city.
Right. I mean, Rashak thought that we go with the municipal boundaries. So sometimes it may be a little bit amorphous. Like in Chicago, for example, the municipal boundaries are kind of uneven. So I'm not exactly sure how you cheshven, but if you look over here, let's get rid of this. These are the municipal boundaries. There we go. These are the municipal boundaries of Chicago. Okay? So let's say, so it happens to be that the West Rogers Park Eruv is basically this corner of Chicago. This is all within the Chicago city limits. But let's say they would expand the Eruv into Lincolnwood or north to, I think the office of the CRC is, I think, here in West Tui. It's on the border of the end of Chicago, so if you cross the street, you can't really get there because it's not Chicago. But let's say they were to expand the area this way, into Lincolnwood, into Skokie. So that's not part of Chicago municipal limits or boundaries, but the street goes, or let's say the street continues going straight. Is that considered, up to one point you cheshbon the mechuvan? Meaning, let's say you have an Eruv that encompasses more than one municipality. So does that mean that we view that street as a single street with foolish Bisharlashar from the other one municipality to the other? I'm not sure.
Why it seems like we're trying to find the thing as our Shisharabim in terms
right.
of if it hangs, that's a prerequisite to the Eruv Shisharabim.
Right.
Why do we join it to the Eruv to affect that calculation?
It should have, but if there's, you know, maybe I would argue if there's continuous settlement, so then that's really halachically one area.
Right, and that's mutually exclusive with the municipality or
correct. Place. Correct. Yeah.
So would you be machshir this was Rogers Park Eruv including Howard Street?
It does include Howard Street.
What?
It does include Howard Street.
Right. Would you be machshir?
Me personally?
Yeah.
I'm not opposed to it. I'm just saying what others would say. I'm sorry?
What are chapter held by
I'm not sure. He thought this was an issue. Meaning, even if you assume, it goes back to the Chazon Ish we discussed last time. So the Chazon Ish made 2 points. So if you accept both points of the Chazon Ish, so then you're okay on those grounds, because you can box off even that straight street. But if you only accept the first point of the Chazon Ish, not the second, then you can't box it off. And then it could be a bona fide Rishis Arab. Right, but it wouldn't on that street if you don't accept the second point because that street goes down the street. Okay, so we could think about that. We began last time, or we ended last time, I was about to quote Aruch HaShulchan in the context of various arguments that create a higher likelihood of something being Rishis Rabbim if it's a smaller town. So we noted both the Chazon Ish and this argument about Mechuvan in that category. And the Aruch HaShulchan has a separate but interesting comment that we should at least reference. The Aruch HaShulchan, beginning in Seif Yotes, is bothered by the following question. The Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Sadi Vav Amid Beis asks the question, what is the source of the Yisro Hotsa in the Torah? And the Pasuk quotes, the Gemara quotes the Pasuk, Vayitzav Moshe Vayavir Kol B'machane Leimor Ish V'Isha V'chulei Vayichalei Ha'am Mehavi. So Moshe Benu said, enough of the donations, we have what we need for the Mishkan, and the people stop bringing donations to the Mishkan. So Gemara says, where is Moshe standing? Moshe was standing in the Machane Leviyah. And the Machane Leviyah was a Rishus HaRabim. And Moshe is telling them, don't carry on Shabbos from your tents, from your Rishus HaYachid, into the Rishus HaRabim of the Machane Leviyah. Okay, that's the Gemara in Sadi Vav and Shabbos that defines the Machane Leviyah as a Rishus HaRabim, and that is the source, or a source, for the Malacha of Hotzah. So Aruch HaShulchan is bothered, why is the Gemara focusing on the Machane Leviyah as the paradigmatic Rishus HaRabim? What's in the entire Machane Yisrael Rishus HaRabim? We learn out, if we do learn out Shishim Ribo or the other details of Rishus HaRabim from the Machanos in the Midbar, but why is the Gemara focusing only on the Machane Leviyah? What about the Machane Yisrael as a whole? Wasn't the entire encampment of Klal Yisrael, of Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar, a Rishus HaRabim? Okay, so that is the Aruch HaShulchan's question. And that question compels the Aruch HaShulchan to present the following analysis. That a Rishus HaRabim is only exists where it is a single area, a single road in the city, that is the only way out of the city, either on a north-south axis or on an east-west axis. So you have a road that takes you from outside of the city to the inside of the city, and that's the only way to get from outside of the city to inside of the city, from inside of the city to outside of the city. So in your old traditional Mishnaic town, you would have your Batim, you have your houses. Your houses open into chatseiros, the courtyards. The chatseiros open into mavoas, into alleyways. And then the alleyways open into this main sratya, the main thoroughfare that'll take you out of the city. So there's only one sratya, only one road, or only one derech hamefulash mishar lashar that then takes you to the sratya in the city. And all the other sub-areas in the city open in to this larger publicly accessed area. So that is what's considered a Rishus HaRabim. In the Midbar, that wasn't the case. In the Midbar, you had the various Shvatim on all the sides of the, initially on all the sides of the Machane Leviyah, and their tents opened up in front of them in their local area. But there was no need to go through any central road to get out of the Machane. The only central area that existed around the Machane or inside of the Machane was the Machane Leviyah. The only place where everyone would have a reason to gather is the Machane Leviyah in order to go to the Mishkan, to go to Moshe Rabbeinu, in this particular context, to donate the materials for the construction of the Mishkan. So the way Rosh Hashanah says this is that according to the Aruch HaShulchan, Rishus HaRabim has to be Rishus HaRabim with the Hei Haidiyah, the road of the Rabim. So if you have a single road for the Rabim, that could be Rishus HaRabim. But if you have a city that's constructed with multiple exits, entrances, multiple ways of getting into and out of the city, that's not considered a Rishus HaRabim min HaTorah. I guess that's the Aruch HaShulchan's innovative suggestion as to what is defined as a Rishus HaRabim. According to that, again, most contemporary cities would not be considered a Rishus HaRabim, and that's independent of whether there's a requirement of Shishim Ribo or not. Avi.
In theory, we would see that as a highway, really.
Right.
If there was a city that has one highway, the other one highway, we have such a phenomenon, we know something exists like that.
A city with one highway?
One highway that goes in, or, you know, one highway that goes in each direction, we would go after two.
Or one road, so that's the smaller the town is, and the so that's where the Rosh Hashanah says Tannersville, New York. So you have Main Street in Tannersville. It's the only way in, the only way out. Not the only way out. There's not exactly. Come on.
That's the issue of Eretz Yisrael, for sure.
Right. So that's the point, that the smaller the area is, the more likely to have a Rishas HaRabim.
That then, if we don't hold of the Rashi 600,000,
right,
make it then Rishas HaRabim D'oraisa?
Yeah, so Rishakti thinks that Tan as well as Rishas HaRabim D'oraisa.
And then any Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael, that main road that goes in,
and that could be as well, right. So New York City is not Rishas HaRabim D'oraisa, and Tannersville is Rishas HaRabim D'oraisa. Okay. Ramosha has a tshuva, Chelek Aleph Siman Kuf Mem, in which he is somewhat skeptical about this whole requirement of Mefulash, and definitely of Mechula. Siman Kuf Mem comes after Siman Kuf Lamentes. Siman Kuf Lamentes is the initial lengthy tshuva about having had in his Rishas HaRabim, which we'll get to in due time. Rav Moshe was asked in that whole discussion in Siman Kuf Lamed Tes, why did you not discuss the requirement of Mechuvan? Why didn't you discuss that as far as defining an area as Rishas HaRabim or not? So Rav Moshe responds, that he was a navoch de ikar din zeh. He was confused as to this whole requirement of mechuvan to begin with. How do you know that there's any such din of mechuvan? And if that's dumi the digle midbar, how do you know that the digle midbar are mechuvan? And even Rashi, who says mechuvan, maybe all Rashi means is that you can get from one side to the other without the blockage. Even Rashi's mechuvan doesn't really mean mechuvan straight. It just means that there's nothing blocking the road. So if I have a street, even if it's at a 90-degree angle, that would still be considered mechuvan, as long as you don't have some blockage in the middle of the road that prevents access from one end to the other. And then he quotes a Bir Hagra. He notes that the Bir Hagra here in Shin Mem Hei on the din of Mefulash is Mitzayin Rashi and Daf Nun Tes, and not Rashi and Daf Vav in Erevin. So Moshe says that's because Rashi and Nun Tes makes no mention of Mechuvan. So the Rosh thinks that the Iker, the Gaon thinks that the Iker definition of Mefulash is not Mechuvan. All it means is that you can get from one side of the city to the other without a blockage, but it doesn't have to be straight or anywhere near straight. Okay. Chelek Aleph Siman Kuf Mem. The Be'er Gra on the din here in Siman Shin Mem Hey. It's Sif Katan Tezvav. So Rav Moshe talks about a blockage of an area in the middle that would not be defined as Rishas HaRabim. Could also be a blockage that prevents physical access through the road. Rav Moshe talks about a situation where it's not Tesai Nama, or it's Makura, or you don't have access to Shishim Riba, something that would remove the definition of Rishas HaRabim in the middle, which is also a Chiddush. But it could just be a stop blockage. Yeah.
That would work for West Rogers Park.
I'm sorry?
That would work for West Rogers Park, Howard Street, an overpass.
Right, so whether Ramosh actually means that a small overpass is going to remove the Shem Rishis Ram from the entire area, it's unclear. If that's what he meant, there would be a big Kiddush, that's not generally, accepted. Yeah. Okay. Rabbi Simon points out that Ramosh Vick, there's a big posek on the in Brooklyn, used to say that the roads in New York are mechuvan biz California, that they go straight to California. meaning to say that we don't really require mechuvan. That's not the definition of foolish. So jokingly, every street is mechuvan to the end of the world. So Rav Moshe there wrote that there's no evidence in the Gemara of a requirement of mefulash, definitely not mechuvan, and not even mefulash, which is how we began our discussion of mefulash last time. Rabbi Kasher, in one of his essays in the Divrei Menachem, 7 Beis, has a cute raya. He says that it is a Gemara, because the Ramban writes in Daf Nun Tes. The Ramban attacks Rashi. How does Rashi come up with this requirement of Shishim Rebo? There's no such din in the Gemara. The Gemara never says anywhere that Rosh Hashanah Rabim has to be Shishim Rebo. But the Ramban does say that there's a requirement of Mefulash, which he defines as Mechuvan. So obviously the Ramban must have held that there is a Gemara for Mechuvan, otherwise the same kasha that he has in Rashi's Shishim Rebo, he should have asked on his own Shita about Mechuvan. So obviously the Ramban understood that there is a Gemara about Mechuvan, and that's a Gemara in the Avav, in Shabbos, of Vajrachim HaMevaos HaMefulashin, that the Ramban and other Rishonim understood that is a Gemara source for the requirement of Mefulash. And as we noted last time, Rabbi Kasher quotes the Brisa Demlechas HaMishkan, that has a line of Hanan Madricham B'derach Shava, that the Anan would guide Bnei Yisrael in a straight path, which he thinks is an indication of how the drachim in the Midbar were Mechuvanim. Okay. So let's go on now to the requirement of Mekura. So we have in the Gemara in Shabbos, quoted on Daf Hey Amud Aleph, and it's really referencing a Gemara on Tzadi Ches Amud Aleph. I don't know if Gemara Shabbos, or I took the wrong volume. Thanks so much. The Gemara on Tzadi Ches Amud Aleph in Shabbos has the following. Amr of Shmuel bar Yehuda, Amr of Abba, Amr Rav Huna, Amr Rav, Hamavir Dalad Amas Rosh Hasharabim Mekura is Pater. That if you carry 4 Amas in Rosh Hasharabim that has a roof over it, you're Pater. Lefi she'eino dome ledigle midbar. That's not dome ledigle midbar. The Gemara asks, Vagalos the Mekura Savyan. But what about the Agalos in the Mishkan, which did have covers, so they were Mekuros, and yet the Amar Rab Mishum Rabbi Chia Agalos Tachtein Rabbeinei Mitzidein Rosh Hasharabim, the area underneath and between on the side of the Agalos was considered Rosh Hasharabim. So don't you see that even a Rosh Hasharabim Nekura is considered a halachic Rosh Hasharabim? The Gemara answers, Kika Amar Rab Bidra Asa. No. Rab's statement that the area underneath next to the Agalos was Rosh Hasharabim, that's only referring to the spaces between the Grashim, meaning the area that didn't have a roof over it. But in a Hanami, the area that had a roof over it, even the Agalos, would have been not a Rosh Hasharabim. This is the source in the Gemara that an area that is Makura cannot be considered Rosh Hasharabim.
It might be a side question, but wouldn't Lavud make it?
Okay, we'll get there. Good. Okay. Why are you assuming that's not true? How do you know it was Lavud? How do you know there was a sheer Lavud? No, how do you know that the spaces were than a sheer Lavud?
Because it was an area that was 5 amos wide,
right.
And it was 4 crushing.
Right.
And those 4 crushes, if you squeeze them together, will be 4.5 amos. That's the other Gemara we did, right?
Right.
So if you even at the most, you could stretch it out to
that might be referring to the areas on the outside, and not the areas between the crushes. We can figure out the measurements. But okay.
It seems to imply that the way they were situated, yes. Just so that the bolts wouldn't touch each other.
Okay.
But then they could be sitting very close, and it really could work out, and it would be that it would have worked
could, out. Could, but you have to figure out whether that's Bechreach, if that was the case. Okay, so we'll hold on to that thought. Okay. So the Sfas Emes and his Chidusha and the Gemara and Shabbos there, you have this in Rosh Hashanah's Mar Mekomos if you haven't taken a look yet, is bothered by the following question. Even let's assume that the area under the Agolos Mamish would have been considered a Rosh Hashanah. I mean, the Gemara seems to say that the only Rosh Hashanah was on the side. The only Rosh Hashanah was the area around the Agolos, between, around, that didn't have a roof directly over it. But let's even assume that the area directly underneath the Kiroi would have had the status of a Rosh Hashanah. But maybe the Midbar still can't be a model, because maybe in the Midbar, the Agolos were traveling. So the reason that the area under the Agolos was a Shesharabim was because it was only Mekura temporarily. You know, the Agolos were traveling, so for a brief period, wherever the Agolos were, the area underneath was Mekura, but it wasn't permanently Mekura. And since it wasn't permanently Mekura, that's why it's not a Shesharabim. Maybe in a Hanami, if you had an area that was permanently Mekura, maybe that still should be Rosh Hashanah. Let me say that again. I think I said that the opposite way. In the Midbar, you had these Agolos that were traveling. So even if we would consider the area under the Agolos as a Rosh Hashanah, maybe that was only because that area was temporarily covered, not permanently covered. But maybe an area that's permanently covered would not be considered a Rosh Hashanah. So the Agolos should be Akasha. The Gemara says, again, the Gemara says that a Rosh Hashanah, Mekura is not a Rosh Hashanah. What about the Agolos? The Agolos were Mekura, and that was Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara has to get out of it by saying, no, it's not talking about the areas under the Agolos. And maybe even if it was talking about the areas under the Agolos. The areas under the Agolos are only Mekura temporarily, and that's why it was still considered Rosh Hashanah. But if you have an area that was permanently Mekura, maybe it would not be considered a Rosh Hashanah. The Sfas Emes assumes that if you have an area that is Mekura only temporarily, that would not be considered a Rishus HaRabim. Because maybe when it comes to the Agolos and the Midbar, so there, since the Agolos themselves are always Mekura, so the area underneath is going to be considered Tachas HaKiroi. But fundamentally, the Sfas Emes thinks that if you have a area that is Mekura only temporarily, that's not going to be remove the shame Rosh Hashanah. Shula Kunder assumes this way as well. Yeshua's Malko Simen Nun Beis. He has another raya that the Agolos were different. He quotes the Yerushalmi in the beginning of Perek Habona in Shabbos. Yerushalmi there says that the Adonim in the Mishkan were considered to be constructed Bibinyan Kavua, because the Adonim were constructed based on Alpia Dibor. So apparently that which is constructed Alpia Dibor is considered to be Kavua, even if it was actually temporary on some level. He says maybe the same is true by the Agolos as well, that they were considered Kavua because it was Alpia Dibor. But fundamentally, the Yeshua's Malka agrees to the Sfas Emes, that if you have an area that is makura only temporarily, that's not considered halachically makura. Yeah.
So make sure I get this clear. Mm-hmm. It doesn't remove the shemeshes ram from the area, but when it is in use as a roof, the area underneath it's not shemeshes ram.
No, according to the Sfas Emes, even when there is a roof over it, it's only a temporary roof, the area is still a Rishis HaRabim. It still would be considered a Rishis HaRabim. The exclusion of Makura is only if it is permanent. Yeah. What do you mean? Right. Right. Well, you put up walls also now. If you put up walls, so you create a Rishis HaYachid. Here we're talking about a roof without walls, right? So it's not a tent. You're putting up a roof. You put up a roof in the backyard, right? So which is a karmeless anyway. You put up a roof for a week. So according to the Sfas Emes, if you put up a roof in a Rishis HaRabim for a week, that doesn't remove the Shem Rishis HaRabim. What he's saying is that Lo Yitachein, that on this Shabbos I'll do the same act of Hotzah in the same area and be Chayiv, the next Shabbos I'll do the same act and be Pater. Right, so if I have a roof that I put up and take down on an irregular basis, but it's only there temporarily, that can't change the status of Rishis HaRabim. It has to be there with some form of permanence. That's the Sfas Emes' assumption, and that's the assumption of Yeshua's Malka as well, Siman Nun Beis. Yeah. Well, we don't know that the area under the Agolos was the Rishis HaRabim. That's the Gemara's question, right? Because the Machaneh was Rishis HaRabim. So Gemara says, if Rishis HaRabim requires Makur, if Rishis HaRabim Makur is not Rishis HaRabim, so what about under the Agolos? So Gemara says, that in a Chanam, the area under the Agolos is not Rishis HaRabim. Right? So the Agolos could have been a separate Rishus, even if the entire area is Rishis HaRabim. Okay. So in the footnote in the Sfas Emes, he points out that this principle of the Sfas Emes, that a Rishis HaRabim, which is only Makur temporarily, is still considered Rishis HaRabim, would answer up a difficulty with the Ran and Sukkah. The Ran and Sukkah on Daf Gimel Amid Aleph Dape Rif. Gimel Amid Aleph Dape Rif, Dibur Maskul Bahama Rava, the first Rama Rava. Okay, Gimel Amid Aleph Dape Rif, the first Rama Rava. The Ran there is discussing the Sugya of Miga Dahavi Dofen Linyan Sukkah, Havi Dofen Linyan Shabbos. Gemara is a principle that even though the standards for defining an area as a Rishis HaYachid Hilcha Shabbos are more stringent than the minimal requirement of the fanos for a sukkah. So to make something a Rishis HaYachid, you need, let's say, gimel mechitzos. To have a kosher sukkah, it's sufficient to have two defanos plus. So in Hilchos Rishis HaYachid, those two defanos plus are not sufficient to make something a Rishis HaYachid. Nevertheless, we have a principle of Miga Dahavi Dofin Le'inyan Sukkah Dahavi Dofin Le'inyan Shabbos. So once I define a sukkah as being a kosher sukkah in Hilchos Sukkos, so now that also becomes a Rishis HaYachid on Shabbos Sukkos. So even though without the sukkah's context, that sukkah may still be defined as a karmelis or even a Rishis HaRabim, Miga David Dofen Linyan Sukkah V'Dofen Linyan Shabbos tells us that on Shabbos of Sukkos we define it as a Rishus Hayachid. Now you might have thought that this principle of Miga David Dofen Linyan Sukkah V'Dofen Linyan Shabbos is only relevant to Dinim Derabbanim. Some Rishonim may hold this, meaning that if you're constructing a sukkah in a karmelis, so ordinarily you wouldn't be able to carry from your house into the sukkah because you can't carry from Rishis HaYachid to Karmelis Midrabanan. But Mika Davidofen and Yisuka Davidofen and Shabbos tells you that you're allowed to carry from your house into the sukkah, which otherwise would have been a karmelis. But the Ram says no. This then even applies to a rishus harabim, even to an isur deraisa. So Mika Davidofen and Yisuka Davidofen and Yisuka tells you that even if you're constructing a sukkah in a rishus harabim. So min ha-Torah, without Hilchos Sukkah, you wouldn't even be able to carry four amos within your sukkah. Dalet amos rishus harabim. So Miga Davidofen and Yisuka Davidofen and Shabbos tells you that on Shabbos you are on Shabbos of Sukkot you are allowed to. So even as far as Dinam D'Oraisa, we define that sukkah as a rishus hayachid, even for Hilchos Shabbos. So the problem is, this is what the footnote on this Hashemus points out in other Achronim as well, that what is the concern? We're talking about a sukkah in Rishis HaRabim that otherwise would have been part of the Rishis HaRabim, but doesn't the sukkah Schach? Isn't the sukkah Makura? And a Rishis HaRabim Makura is not a Rishis HaRabim. So what's the Ram talking about, that this principle of Miga Davidofen and Yisuka Davidofen and Shabbos helps even for derisos, even to allow you to carry in the sukkah which otherwise would have been a Rishis HaRabim, was Rishis HaRabim, Yisuka Schach. So it's not a Rishis HaRabim to begin with.
I don't remember the Gemara there, but could we assume the Gemara is talking about the walls? I think it's in the context it is, but could it be the Gemara talking about the roof? That whatever our definition of Mukur for Shabbos is, the Chiddush is that even Rishis HaRabim Mechamasa, which is a very low bar for a roof, would be a roof for Shabbos.
The Gemara is talking about the Fanos. The Gemara is talking about the Fanos, and the Dovin and Shabbos. But the question is, bottom line, your sukkah aschach, and once your sukkah aschach, how could it be Rishis HaRabim? If Rishis HaRabim Makura is not a Rishis HaRabim. Alright, so based on the Fasamis, what's the answer?
Temporary.
So that's what the footnote points out, that according to the Fasamis, it makes sense that since the aschach is only there on a temporary basis, and temporary kiroi is not considered to be mikura, then there's no problem of, or then we understand the Ran, that the fact that the schach doesn't remove the shei rishis harabim, if not for the principle of migad avidofen le'inyan shabbos, as sukkah, avidofen le'inyan shabbos. That this sukkah, if it's in a rishis harabim, would still have the status of a rishis harabim, because the schach is only temporary, and therefore you need to come on to the principle of Nigad Avidofen and Yitzchak Avidofen and Shabbos to allow Tiltol in the Sukkah on Shabbos. That's what the footnote on the Tfas Emes suggests. We know that on the Lower East Side, because of Ramosha, the never was an Eruv. But my friend Rabbi Tzvi Ram, the Rav did the Alasacher show, had the following idea that 14 years ago, and he tells me that they are beginning to act on it with the Haskam of Rav David. Rabbi Ram's idea was the following. If you look at this map, so this, I understand that this Room Street here is essentially a mavli. It starts over here and ends over here. not really a street, it's just an alleyway that goes behind various apartment buildings. So that's not a Rishus HaRavim according to anyone in this little area over here. So until now, there have been local Eruvin that just join, let's say have a Suez Pesach that blocks off this area and this area, and would allow you to carry from this apartment building to this apartment building, and the same thing one block over from this apartment building to this apartment building. So that stops over here, because this street goes into other streets, this is a real street, and that would run into the problem of Rishus HaRavim. Rabbi Rum's idea was to do the following at this intersection and at this intersection to create Nukura Ayidei Lavav. We basically have strings crisscrossing over the street within three talking with each other. So you have an effective halachic kiroi that would remove the shame of Rishus HaRavim from this intersection, and then you could construct an Eruv that would begin over here at this corner and then continue up to here and basically continue into this block as well using Kiroi Al Yidei Lavav. So there's an article printed in the Beis Yitzchak a few years ago by Rabbi Yechiel Weiner, who at the time probably was unaware that this was actually being contemplated l'maisa. He suggests that whether Kiroi Ayidei Lavav would work should be partially dependent on the issue we just raised. Namely, Tosfos Emes's explanation based on the Tosfos Emes, the way we understand the Ran and Sukkah is that a temporary kiri is not considered a kiri. There is another explanation offered. Rav Sternberg has his Summer of the Moedim Mizmanim. Rabbi Weiner quotes this in this article, but I couldn't find the actual source. The cited source was, I think, mistaken. The citation was mistaken. So if you could find it for me, let me know. But apparently Rav Sternberg writes somewhere different tarets. The reason that the schach of a sukkah is not considered mekura is because it doesn't really keep out the rain. It doesn't really function as a roof. And since it doesn't really function as a roof, you can't view that as mekura. So according to that, if the standard for mekura is whether it functions as a roof, so then Kiroi Ayidei Lavav wouldn't help you. But if you get out of the Ran and Sukkah otherwise, that it's just a function of temporary versus permanent, so you could have Kiroi Ayidei Lavav, which is permanent, even though it's not going to keep the rain out, and that would create a halachic reality. I gave you the Mar Mekama Teshuvah of the Betzel HaChachma, which I think was Chele Beis Simen Sadi Vav. He thinks that the Magen Avraham disagrees with this whole approach of the Tosfos Emes, and that according to the Magen Avraham, even a temporary kiroi would be considered to remove a shame or shes harabim. I don't think the Magen Avraham is mefurish. If you haven't seen it yet, it's Simen Reish Samach Vav Sifkat and Zayin. You can take a look. I don't think that's near explicit in the Magen Avraham, but that is the way he presents it, which would be, again, Tosfos Emes and the Yeshua's Malka.